Well, hello, my brother.
Good evening, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing well. The sun is shining in Canada, so, you know, all is well.
So you've got the nice weather that we had last week.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
So we've gone back to a blustery spring day, high winds and rain, but hey, life is looking good.
Well, we're supposed to get our rain tomorrow, so, you know, we'll, you know, make hay when the sun shines, so everything going well?
Feel free to keep it to yourselves.
Yeah. So how's it going?
Welcome, everyone. Yeah, doing all right, thank you. I'm counting the days. 3 weeks today until I hang up my calculator after 40 years of being an accountant, 30 years in the same business. And 3 weeks today, I'll be walking out of the office. Well, I mean, I will be going back, but officially walking out for the last time.
So in essence, like on the day of the webcast, that is your final day?
On the day of the webcast, that's my last day.
Well, yes. Isn't that appropriate?
I think it is, yes.
Well, we'll have to have a party.
We've been having a party in the office in the morning. We might as well have another one in the webcast this evening.
Okay, gang, that's a challenge. Everybody who's on the broadcast weekly, you know, 3 weeks today is, you know, we want to have a party for Mark to celebrate his transition. I know I often will say retirement, but I know it's a transition rather than, or a refirement rather than a retirement. But if anybody's got any ideas, you know, I wish we could share a retirement cake, but I'm not sure how we can do that.
We could each have a cake and just work our way through it on it.
Wouldn't that be something? Just sit there and eat cake all through the broadcast. That would be lovely.
I don't see why not, really.
Yes, and of course, for anybody who knows Mark and I, and we've been doing this for over 10 years now, and it really, you know, the essence of these broadcasts is just like us having a cup of coffee or a cup of tea in the same room and having a weekly visit. So eating cake together, you know, and you having cake wherever you are in the world, all eating together would be probably appropriate. So
I see that's a good thing we should be doing.
Yeah, we should be having that, some kind of big countdown too, like every day, you know, pulling off the number on the wall or something.
Well, I've got a calendar on my wall in the office, you know, and I'm deliberately not crossing off the days because I didn't feel it was fair to my colleagues.
Yeah, it's just kind of rubbing it in, perhaps, you know, but...
Maybe rubbing it in a little bit too much. I'll go with the chocolate and the cake, you know, not or, Norman, and cake and chocolate.
Yeah, we can just pile that higher and higher, so that's awesome.
Absolutely, sure can.
So
what's going on in my world.
Yeah, you want to talk about a couple things, right?
Yeah, just a couple of things that we've got coming up.
Okay, I'm going to switch you over to the main screen.
Okay, thank you. So last week we had Richard Jones on the webcast. Many of you will know Richard. I thought it was a real feast last Wednesday evening. I thought what Richard was talking about was wonderful. Just really deep stuff. But Richard and Nia are joining me for a Father Heart UK family day on Saturday the 17th of April. Obviously it's online. We're going to be live streaming to Facebook and we're having a virtual coffee break in the middle of the day on Zoom. It's going to be informal. We're going to be having a chat, a conversation together. You do need to register and you can do that at fatherheart.uk/family day. And there's all the detail about the event, the timings. I've called it family day, but it's actually family morning. It's just really from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock. So anybody, you don't have to be in the UK, anywhere around the world, you can sign up and join us for that day. So that's on the 17th of April. And as I say, anybody's really welcome to join us. The virtual coffee break priority will be given to people in the UK, but there's plenty of scope anyway. So just come and join us. That'd be fun. And the other thing I just want to mention is the next series of seminars that I'm organizing. It's called Embraced. It's really one series of seminars in two parts. The first part is with Barry, and that starts on the 19th and the 20th of April. So that's Monday and Tuesday, two afternoons, Monday afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, UK time. And Barry and I are talking about embracing a childlike heart. And then the second part of that series is with Wynette, from the Netherlands, 17th and 18th of May. And again, two afternoons, Monday and Tuesday afternoons, two sessions, 2:30 UK time. All of the detail is on my website, afathertoyou.com/embraced. And you're really, really welcome to join us for these seminars. Both the seminars and the family day, there is no charge, but you are very, very welcome to make a donation. So those two things, fatherheart.uk/family day or afathertoyou.com/embraced. But if you go to my website, there's links to both events on my website. You'll find them easy enough. So that's a little bit of information about what's coming up in the next few weeks.
Woohoo. It'll be great.
There you go.
And
it's going to be fun, yes.
Yeah, and of course, you know, with Mark and I, we are kindred spirits in this whole revelation of a childlike heart, and so it will be fun. Just, and I say fun, and I really, I mean, it's going to be fun. But you know, it is actually, I believe it's really, really deep stuff. I mean, it's so deep that we need the safety of being loved unconditionally before we're even willing to even kind of dare to dream that we can actually be little again and just live a life of surrender and trust, and it's all amazing. So I'm looking forward to just another adventure with my brother.
And I actually think both the two parts of the seminars are really, they're not standalone. I
mean, no, you can absolutely
do one part or the other part, but you know, really, when the more we are comforted, the more we receive comfort, I just think the more we slip into a childlike heart. Because when we're comforted, we're safe. And when we're safe, we can be little.
Yeah.
It's when we're not safe, we try to be big and grown up and sophisticated. And it fails miserably.
Yeah. As
you can probably all testify.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think we asked for a show of hands of everybody who has, you know, made a attempt at trying to manage their own life and how it worked for us, you know. And, you know, Father loves us through it all. And, you know, when we get to a point where we hit a wall or, you know, we just run out of our own resources, he's always there to pick us up and sort out all the details. But to be able to believe that can be an ongoing reality for us every day, and no matter what is happening, I think that's, it'll be great. And I agree completely with the, you know, it's the whole idea of big boys don't cry, kind of idea that we turn our hearts off to comfort. And every person who's ever created still needs to be comforted. And so it is hand in hand, both of those messages. And of course, with Wynette and Mark and their anointing and perspective on comfort is just amazing. And so, you know, I would highly recommend that as well. So what are we doing tonight, mate?
Just before we get into tonight, many of you may have seen on Facebook that James Jordan posted on his blog Facebook page, which is M. James Jordan. And he, I don't know if you saw it, Barry, but he wrote about a dream he'd had.
Oh, that was amazing. You want to talk about that for a second?
Yeah, I do, because I think actually it kind of picks up on what we were just talking about a childlike heart, because James had this dream, and it was kind of, in a sense, it was kind of shocking on one level, because James, as an adult, was just about to preach in this church, and he suddenly realized he was, you know, literally naked, physically naked, in the dream, not in reality, you know, in the dream. And but when he came up to the front to speak, he suddenly realized that he was no longer naked, but he had like a t-shirt and short trousers on. And then he just kind of was asking Father what this dream was all about. And it was really the, just like, you know, when you've got a newborn baby, when you've got a baby, a newborn baby is born naked. And there's no shame, there's nothing. There's just, this is the awe and the wonder of a newborn baby and the beauty. And, you know, you count the toes and you count the fingers and, you know, it's just glorious. And so James was saying, this is how we were created. Adam and Eve were naked in the garden. And that's, you know, that's how they related to God. And so then James went on and he said, as we recover, you know, the more we are loved, the more we will be prepared to become naked before God. Not physically naked, you understand, but, you know, just naked before God in the sense of vulnerability and innocence. And a lot of people commented on James's Facebook page, and a lot of good comments, but most of the comments were saying, yes, you know, naked and unashamed. And I thought, yeah, that's right. But I don't think that's what James was really getting at. Yeah, of course, naked and unashamed. They were naked and they had no shame, they had no fear. But it wasn't the fact that there was no shame that was the central point. The central point was they were naked and loved. And James was saying in this quite lengthy, it was a long post, but it's very, very well worth reading. He was saying it's when we're in that state of innocence and that state of purity as a little baby that we can be fully loved. Well, we are fully loved. Of course we're fully loved. We're always fully loved. Whatever's going on in our life, we're fully loved. Even when we're sophisticated adults thinking we've got it all together, we're fully loved. But the beauty and the innocence and the purity is not the fact that we're fully loved, but it's the ability to receive that love. And I think that's really what James was getting at through his post, is that the more that is stripped away and we come back to this nakedness and this vulnerability before God, it's an innocence, it's a purity, and we can receive love fully. So, you know, I think that's what James was writing about. I felt it was a very, very deep post. I wanted to read it really, really carefully. I've read it about 3 times, very slowly and ponderously. And yeah, I kind of think James is going beyond the naked and unashamed, which we often think is, you know, the starting, you know, we think that we quote that regularly, naked and unashamed. But I think James is going beyond that and saying naked and able to be loved, able to receive love. And that's, you know, the purity and the simplicity, the ultimate of a childlike heart is, you know, a newborn baby. And the funny thing is, like the day after reading this, my daughter and son-in-law sent us a video of our youngest grandson, who's 1 on Saturday. It's going to be 1 on Saturday. He's just he hasn't started crawling. He's started commando crawling, you know, like crawling across the floor, but, you know, on, not an upright crawl, but a belly crawl. And it's just hilarious. And he was crawling in their house to go and have a bath, and my daughter was calling him, and he was crawling across the landing, absolutely stark, as you know. And I just thought, that's it. There he was, being cheered on by his mum, being cheered on by his little brother, his big brother, who's 3, and, you know, just giggling as he was crawling across the floor. And I just read this thing by James, and then I saw this video of my grandson, and I thought, that's it. That's what it's about. That beautiful simplicity, innocence, purity, just being a little baby with no cares in the world. And just, he was just having so much fun crawling across the floor, being called by his mum. And it was just this beautiful picture. There's a little boy who is receiving all that love from his mum and dad and his big brother. And I thought, that's what it's about. Yeah, we are naked and unashamed. Absolutely, of course we are. But we're naked and able to receive the purity and the intensity of the Father's love. And I, you know, it just made me think that, yeah, this is what a childlike heart looks like. And I really think James touched something in that post on Facebook. I'd encourage you to look at it. It's on Facebook. It's not his normal page, which is James Jordan. It's called M. James Jordan. And I would really recommend it.
Yes, I would as well. I have the same feelings that you do as well. It's just the, you know, I think the whole idea of being loved unconditionally for who you are without any kind of fig leaves to hide behind or accomplishments or anything. It's completely and absolutely loved for being you. And I think, you know, that is the heart of the Father for his kids, is just that we would know that. And I think, you know, as we you know, it's a great segue, Mark, to, you know, what we're going to talk about today a bit, because, you know, we, as I've titled it, just our baptism into love is, yeah, I mean, I think that is, this is, and of course, you've already started the talk by really setting the table with that. And, yeah, so we, you know, did you want to maybe just open in prayer and maybe just ask just that our hearts would just be, you know, the soil of our hearts would be rooted and grounded in love, would just be open to receive whatever the Father wants to do for us? Because I truly believe that there is a fresh baptism of love that the Father wants to impart to each and every one of us, like in real time, whether we're watching this live or we're watching it afterwards. So if you wouldn't mind doing that would be good.
No problem. Thank you, Father, that you just love us. Thank you, Father, that you love us completely and perfectly and fully every moment of every day. Your love for us is never in question. It's not about us being loved. We are loved. That's a given. Father, it's just about that realization taking hold of our hearts. That we begin to see and believe the truth. And so, Father, I just pray that wherever we are around the world right now, whether we're watching this live or whether we're watching it later, that the eyes of our heart would be opened so that we would see the realization of being loved. And Father, I just ask that you would baptize each one of us in your love right now. And you would go on baptizing us in your love as this evening unfolds, or this afternoon, or this morning, or whatever time of the day it is. As that unfolds, Father, may we just be baptized into love and be rooted and grounded in your love. We thank you, Father, that you are Abba to us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, mate. So as it is for Mark and I, we had our little text chat the other day, and just do you have anything to talk about? No, do you have something to talk about? Well, why don't we have a conversation? And so that's how it started, and we weren't even, you know, yesterday when I was just putting a Facebook notice on putting together the graphics for it. I'm going like, what do I even call this? I don't even just, here's another talk with Mark and Barry, which would be appropriate. But, I asked the Lord, I started to pray as I was just going through the graphics. And anybody who knows me, I'm very visual. I am moved by, kind of visual, the auditory and just what I see. And I just said, Father, would you just maybe speak to me, and where do you want to, what do you want to say, and even through the graphics? So I just, I've got all of this library of graphics, and I start looking, and then of course I came across this stylized image of the Holy Spirit, like descending from heaven, and immediately I went to Jesus' baptism, and I really felt like the Father was really just saying, just you and Mark have a conversation with my kids around the world just about, the baptism of love that really we see in real form in where you have the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit involved at Jesus' baptism. And, when I became a Christian, I was at 15, I kind of involved more in a charismatic kind of Pentecostal perspective on things. And there was a very, very strong emphasis, for much of my Christian life on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, oftentimes I think when we think of a baptism, and Mark, can you just share before I go farther, like the word baptism and the illustration that you shared earlier with me?
Yeah, sure. The word baptism, it comes from a root word, baptizo. And what that means is to immerse or to dunk, to immerse into. And the original context of the word was when people were dyeing cloth. So they would have a bucket of colored dye, and then they would have their cloth, maybe white cloth, and then maybe blue dye, and they would baptizo their cloth into the dye, and they would fully immerse it. And I don't know if you've ever done any dyeing, but you don't just dip it in and pull it out. You dip it in, and then you want every bit of the cloth to be dyed with its new color. So you dip it in, and then you wring it all around, and you pop it up and down, and then eventually you take it out. That's the word. It's a complete immersion. It's a soaking. But the interesting thing about baptizo is that a transformation takes place. Hmm. You might have a white cloth and it comes out blue.
Yeah.
And, it's a complete and utter transformation.
Yeah. And it's interesting because you can't unring that bell. Once you are baptized, right? Once that white cloth goes into a blue dye or red dye, it's forever transformed. And I really believe, when we think of that, oftentimes when we do soaking sessions for people in schools and things, especially when, in the good old days when we could actually be in a room with other people, I would, I know it's maybe a crazy analogy, but, I often talk about, the idea of the transformation that a little cucumber has to become a pickle. All the cucumber does is marinate in pickle juice, right? It's not like it doesn't have to do anything else. And then it's the atmosphere of the pickle juice that actually changes that cucumber from being a cucumber to being a pickle. So, in essence, for me, and again, my simplistic idea of how things work, I just believe that the Father wants to pickle us with his love. And the more that we are able just to posture our hearts to believe that this is the truth, it's not that he's not pouring out his Spirit on us. It is, are we aware of the continual outpouring? But for me, this whole idea in a lot of my kind of Pentecostal background, it was like there's the emphasis on the baptism of the Holy Spirit being a one-off event. you know, that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm not disputing that, but there was so much emphasis on a one-time event. And I'm just going to read a passage of scripture where I think a lot of our understanding, certainly from that kind of perspective of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, comes from Acts chapter 1. And this is where Jesus, you know, he's preparing his disciples for the upcoming outpouring of the Spirit. And verse 4 says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" And then it goes on, in verse 7, he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." And of course, and that's true, right? There is this encounter if we stick our finger in a light socket, you know, we are going to have a power encounter with electricity, 220 in the UK and Europe and 110 volts in North America. But I think over the years, and certainly, you know, for me in my early days, kind of pre-encountering this revelation of love, you know, where I had even a perspective difference, and the kingdom was a demonstration of power, and it was about giftings and about working and all those things. You know, that has definitely so changed in me when I understand this outpouring of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, that it is so much more than this a power encounter. And it is a power encounter because we are encountering Almighty God. But I really believe in Romans 5:5, the first mention of the Holy Spirit, Paul is writing, and he says, and hope does not put us to shame, for God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit in which he has given us. And I really believe that if we want to have a true understanding of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be continually filled, and even in Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, for us not to be drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Greek word there for be filled is to be continually filled. So when we start to understand, and at least from what I think about it, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the Father's desire is to continually fill us. Every moment of every day, he is pouring his Holy Spirit into our hearts. And Romans 5:5, why? Is it just a power component? No, it's his love that is being poured out. And so, you know, when I think of the Jesus' own life on planet Earth, you know, and before he did anything to earn or deserve his Father's affirmation, before he did one miracle, you know, the Bible says that he came to the River Jordan where John was baptizing. It's amazing when you think about it, you know, even the humility of Jesus, right? Waiting with the other people that was a baptism of repentance. And he just was waiting in line, his turn, here's the Son of the Living God, and he's just waiting to be baptized and to submit to that process, as a sign and a wonder. And of course, you know, I think of heaven and I think of the Father, and the only times that, you know, that I can think of in, you know, that come to mind for me where God himself spoke from heaven, audibly spoke from heaven, was about his Son. You know, it happened in Jesus' baptism. Then it happened again at the transfiguration. And it's just like, I just believe that, you know, when I think of that, I just imagine the Father was so delighted with his Son. And this is where before he did anything to earn or deserve anything, as far as affirmation goes. And the Bible says when Jesus rose out of the waters of the Jordan, that the windows of heaven were torn open and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove on Jesus. So you see the Father in heaven declaring words of affirmation. We see the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, falling on Jesus, and then the Son of the Living God coming out of the waters. What a beautiful, just a love expression of the Trinity. And then the Father says, "This is my Son whom I love. In him I am well pleased." And I believe that that was Jesus' physical baptism. That was a prototypical understanding of what it meant for him to be baptized. He was baptized with the Holy Spirit with a revelation of the Father's love. And so my prayer as we unpack this, even in our little session here today, is that there would be something in our hearts that would resonate with this, and that yes, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we want to, be a witness to all the world, and we want to have the power to do everything God's called us to. But the essence and the very core of being baptized with the Holy Spirit is to be baptized afresh every moment of every day with His love. It's a baptism of sonship, that we belong to Him, that He's our dad. And it just the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is just affirming in us at the very core of our being that that's who we are. Romans 8:15 says that we've not received a spirit that makes us a slave again to fear, but we've received the spirit of sonship by which we cry, Abba, Father. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus. So here we see the Holy Spirit's role, again affirming that you belong to God, you came from Him, you are His heir, and you are a joint heir of Jesus. And so my prayer tonight is, as we just unpack this together, and even in the ministry time at the end, I just, my prayer is that same open heaven that was over Jesus, that there would be a greater reality, a greater awakening to that same open heaven over each and every one of us, no matter what we're going through in life. Good days, bad days, and every day in between, that we would experience the outpouring of the Spirit of the Son, who's also called the Spirit of the Father, the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit of Sonship, that just bears witness that we are God's children. So that's just my little take on it, Mark, and I'll pass it over to you.
I think that's a pretty good take. I have come to really see that the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of Sonship. Mm. See, I think when we look at the Holy Spirit through our orphan filter, we see Him as someone who can do something good for us, can give us good gifts, great, wonderful gifts, and gifts that we desperately need. But we focus on the gifts, on what the Holy Spirit can do for us, maybe make our ministry look better, all of those gifts. And look, please, we desperately need the gifts of the Holy Spirit more and more and more. But I think when we look at it through as an orphan mindset, we see it as a gift to us to make us do something better. Mm. Whereas actually the Holy Spirit goes beyond or starts before the gifts. The person of the Holy Spirit starts with the person of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts are something that the Holy Spirit hands out, to us. But the person of the Holy Spirit comes before those gifts. And I think we see a glimpse of the Holy Spirit again in John chapter 14, which is a passage we regularly quote on these webcasts. But John chapter 14, Jesus says in verse 16, He says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate, or another counselor, it says. And in some translations, it even says another comforter, to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. You see, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit there. He's saying, look, guys, I'm going back to my Father. I'm going back to the Father, but I'm going to send another comforter, another counselor, another advocate, the Holy Spirit. And the world can't accept Him, but you can, because He lives in you and He will be with you. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And then He says that classic verse that we all know so well, I will not leave you as orphans. You see, there we are, jogging along through our life in our orphan-hearted ways. And Jesus says, guys, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And we read, obviously, in Paul, and Barry's already alluded to it, it's the Holy Spirit of Sonship that enables us to cry, Abba, Daddy. And so Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit of sonship. And I've really come to see that the Holy Spirit is primarily, first and foremost, the Holy Spirit of sonship. But the Holy Spirit births sonship in us. We read that in Galatians. We read it in Romans. We see it in John chapter 14 and 15, 16 and 17. We see that the Holy Spirit is birthing sonship in us. Mm. And the gifts are just the follow on from that. You know, I think, you know, when as sons and daughters, when we start using and living with the gifts of the Spirit, the impact of those gifts has just got to be so much greater because they're being used by sons and daughters rather than by orphans. So Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit of sonship to be with you forever. And, you know, Jesus says in verse 23 of John 14, you know, I'm going to my Father, but he says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. And Barry's already said this, you know, Jesus' baptism, there was Jesus, there was the Father, and there was the Holy Spirit. The Trinity was all involved in this great affirmation of sonship. The Trinity is all there together. And here in John chapter 14, when Jesus is just kind of lay the groundwork for his disciples and therefore for us, he's really trying to sort of show them what the foundation of life is going forward. He says, yeah, I'm going to my Father, but don't worry, guys. We're going to come and make our home with you. Hmm. And the Holy Spirit of sonship is going to deal with that orphan heart inside of you. You know, there again, John chapter 14, the Trinity is involved in us understanding that we're sons and that we're loved. Hmm. And I often wonder, why would God the Father, why would Jesus the Son, and why would the Holy Spirit make their home here? Because I know what this is like. And but yet they say, no. We're going to come and make our home with you.
Yeah.
They're all involved in this together.
Yeah.
It's glorious.
it just so takes it beyond kind of a functional perspective of, you know, how what does the Holy Spirit empower me to do, right? It's like we are being drawn into this place of in the union of the Trinity. Like when Jesus said those words in John 17, I in them, Father, and you in me. And he spoke of the oneness, that it's just his desires that they might be one. That means us as his body might be one as we are one. And when we begin to, I really believe the more that we are able to open our hearts up to the depth of the affection of the Godhead and the desire of the Godhead is not, he's not looking, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're not just looking for a bunch of worker bees, you know, to get the job done. And I think oftentimes when we think of being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's unto something else. It has to be, you know, there has to be something measurable, you know, God. But, you know, even like you said, Mark, right? He said, when Jesus said, we will come, my Father will come and I will come and we will make our home in you. For home's sake, you know, for nothing else, just to be with you.
Hmm. Yeah. It's, you know, and I think this is what the Father wants to say to each of us today. You know, one of the things that really struck me over the last few days is I suppose it's part of this transition, this journey that I'm going on at the moment. I'm retiring from work in 3 weeks' time. I've been an accountant for 40 years, and I've been in the same business for 30 years. And in 3 weeks' time, you know, that comes to an end. Mm. And it's kind of like there's one of the things the father keeps saying to me is, Mark, don't write on the next page, because I would love to sort of, you know, come up with my ideas and, you know, this is my plan for the rest of my life. And, you know, my mum keeps saying to me, what are you going to do? And I keep saying, I don't know what I'm going to do, you know. And my sisters say, what are you going to do? And my wife says, what are you going to do? And I just know it's like, I just got to keep a blank page and let the father write on it. I know a little bit about what's going to happen. I know a little bit about what's going to be written, but just this sense of a blank page. But so I've been mulling over this a lot over the last few days and last few weeks. And the thing the father keeps saying to me is, Mark, I am always with you.
Mm.
Mark, I will never leave you. Mark, I will lead you and guide you. And everything I read in the Bible at the moment is, you know, I will lead you. I will guide you. I will be with you. And I think, you know, that's what the father wants to say to all of us today is, I'm with you.
Mm.
Not only am I with you, but I'm with you. I'm really with you. I'm intimately with you. I've made my home with you. See, we kind of think there must be a level of qualification that we've got to hit before he makes his home with us. Well, if there was a level of qualification or a level of perfection that we had to achieve before he made his home with us, we'd never get there. Because we would never be able to achieve that level. But
yeah.
He says, no, there is no level of perfection. There is no level of achievement. There is nothing you've got to do. There is nothing you've got to become. I have made my home in your heart, rubbish and all.
Yeah.
And I think, God, why do you do that? And he says, because you're my son. I just love being with you. And yeah, I just remember, Barry, the time that Fiona and I came to Toronto in 2002 to the Father Loves You conference. And I've told this story many, many times, but I went to that conference with a list of all the things. You see, I got to the point in my life where I was worn out and I wasn't enjoying. I used to enjoy serving the Lord, right? But I got to the point in my life where I just didn't enjoy it anymore. And I thought I wasn't enjoying it because of all the stuff in my life and all the rubbish that the father needed to sort out and deal with that I wasn't, you know, dealing with and la-di-da-di-da. So I came to Toronto to this conference with this list of all the stuff I wanted God to deal with. And on the first night of that conference, I was kind of lying on the floor saying, come on, Father, here's my list. Now's your opportunity. You've got me. You know, I've paid the airfare, I've paid the hotel bill. I'm here. You know, you've got, you know, you're. And it was like heaven was silent. And it's like, well, come on, God, where are you? What are you doing? And eventually he just said to me, and it was the same sentence, really, Barry, that you've used for this title. He said, Mark, I'm not interested in your list. Now, that was a huge shock to me because I thought God ought to be interested in my list. I thought that's what God did. You know, he was interested in dealing with the stuff. And he said to me, Mark, I'm not interested in your list. I just want to baptize you in my love.
Wow.
And, you know, in that moment, I had a choice. Mm. I could have stayed with my list, or I could have gone with his list, which only had one thing on it. And in the end, I chose to go with his list. And I said, okay, Father, I'm here. I don't know what it means to be baptized in love, but I'm up for it, you know. And if that's what you want to do, then I'll take it. And I believe that's what he, you know, I believe, you know, when Barry had that title yesterday, Baptized in Love, that was divine from the Holy Spirit, because that's what the Father wants to do for us today. Wherever we are, wherever we're at on our journey, whatever's going on in our lives at the moment, he just wants to say, my son, my daughter, like he said to Jesus, I love you. I'm well pleased. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. And, you know, I really believe what he wants to do for us today, individually, is he wants to baptize us in his love. We may have had an encounter with the Father's love. We may have had an experience of the Father's love before, but today is a new day. And his mercies are new every morning. And so today I really believe that's what he wants to do for us, is he wants to baptize us into his love again.
Wow. And one of the things that, when I think of the practical components of those words that the Father spoke over Jesus and how it would have touched very, very real things, emotional needs in his heart. And I believe it was one of Jack Frost's books that talked about the four basic emotional needs of the human heart. And I just believe that those foundational needs that we all have, every person on planet Earth has, were met in that one statement from the Father to the Son, and just really imparted by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was descending like a dove. And it's one of the basic needs is to be loved unconditionally. And of course, when he said, "You're my beloved Son, you're my Son whom I love," right? That it was touching that very core place in Jesus' heart, that I am loved. And of course, when John 17, when he was praying to his Father and he says, "Father, I want my friends basically to be with me where I am, and I want them to see my glory." And the glory that Jesus described that he wanted them to see, oftentimes when we think of the glory of God, we think of pulpit splitting and clouds coming down. But he said, "I want them to see my glory, for you have loved me from before the creation of the world." And so the very essence of the declaration of the Father's love touched that place of being loved unconditionally. And another component of our fundamental needs is to belong to somebody, like not to be alone, not to feel isolated, but we actually belong to somebody. And even the words that that the Father said, "You are my Son." That means Jesus came from the Father, that he belonged to him, would touch something very core. And so my prayer as we move into ministry is that if there's anything in you that feels like your life was a mistake, or you weren't wanted, or you weren't planned, or somehow you've messed up God's plan and purpose, that you would have this assurance from the Holy Spirit that you belong to God. You came from him. You have his seed in you. And then another aspect of that, that emotional need is that we would have a sense of praise and affirmation in our life. And when the Father said, "You are my Son whom I love, and you I'm well pleased," that declaration of "I'm pleased with you" is a depth of an affirmation that each and every person on planet Earth, we need to have that sense of affirmation that we are, that our life makes God smile. And the last, component that I read was a sense of purpose and destiny. And I believe when Jesus heard those words from the Father, the Bible says immediately he went into the wilderness to fulfill his destiny. So I think, if maybe, we can just transition into a time of just Mark and you and I praying. And I just want to encourage you. Yeah, just to open your heart up. And I just see it because I, again, because of the visual nature of who I am, I just see this open heaven over each and every one of us. Wow. So we're just going to put the music on, and I just want to encourage you just to take a moment just to ask the Father to bring you to that place again at the River Jordan for your own life. Before you've done anything to earn or deserve his affirmation. Wow. Wow.
Father says to us tonight, today, that He is loving us with an everlasting love. He's loving you with an everlasting love. All of the love from eternity before Genesis, all of the love from eternity after Revelation, that's being poured into your heart right now by the Holy Spirit. It's not a question of whether you feel worthy or whether you feel you've earned it. It's a gift. It's because He's a Father and He loves us. And He's loving you. And I wonder if you can just say over yourself, just in these moments, if you can say over yourself, the Father is loving me with an everlasting love. I am being loved with an everlasting love. And just as you say those words, I believe it's opening your heart up to receive more from the Father. More of that awareness that we spoke about at the beginning of being loved. He's always loved you. He always will love you. And it's the eyes of our heart that are being opened to see that reality. So, Father, I just ask you, Father, to move amongst us in gentleness and tenderness. And that those words would become a reality to each one of us in a greater way. That your love would just soak us and change us like that cloth that is immersed in the dye, in the colored dye. May we be changed forever because of our encounter with your love. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, Father, we ask that, just the awakening in our inner being to the glorious reality that you are continually pouring your Spirit into our hearts.
Yeah.
Just because you love us, because you just want to be with us. Not you don't want to use us, you just want to be with us.
Yes.
And Father, everything and anything in our theology, anything in our understanding of what we have thought, just an outpouring of your Spirit, this is your personality. This is the very center of your heart that you have continually are giving to us. And Abba, we just ask for, in the areas of our own hearts where we're discouraged, in the areas of our own heart where we just struggle to believe this is the truth of the gospel, in the areas of our own heart, Father, where we just can't believe that it's too good to be true, Father, would your the truth, the reality of the kingdom, would it set us free? That we would have open eyes to see into your kingdom, and that, Father, we would be able to have that transformation where we would be so changed. And anybody, Father, anybody who is listening to this broadcast who has a fear of abandonment, that God may leave you at any moment if you don't do the right things, Father, I just pray just for the security to come to each of your little ones, that you have committed yourself to us for eternity. Even when we are faithless, you remain faithful because you cannot deny who you are. And so, Father, any fear of abandonment, fear of disappointing you, fear of not measuring up, Father, would your perfect love cast out that fear even right now? Whoa. And I just encourage you just to, even as a prophetic act, you know, just to take a deep breath. And by faith, I just breathe in the love of God around me. In Him we live and move and have our being, for we are His offspring. Father, would you just overwhelm your kids with your tangible sense of your presence and your loving comfort even right now. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Abba.
Father, may we go on hearing those words.
Yeah.
As Barry said at the beginning, it's not a one-off event, but may we go on hearing those words. You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. I love you. Father, may those words sink into our heart. May we be rooted and grounded in your eternal love. That love would be our energy, it would be our source of life, just as the soil gives energy to a plant. May your love give life and energy to us. That we would feed on the resources that are found in love.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father, that you are with us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. But you will walk every single day with us.
Mm.
And it's your plan and your purpose to do us good.
Yeah.
We know we live in a fallen, broken, messed up world where stuff happens all the time. But we thank you, Father, that your purpose for us is good.
Yeah.
And may we see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Yeah. Yeah. And Father, we thank you that unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ever ask for, think, or even dare to dream of. Father, you have equipped us with your own spirit to bear witness with our spirits that we are your children. We really are your heirs. We really are joint heirs with Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit that does that work. It's not us that does that. So, Father, help us to yield.
Yeah.
To just like the waves crashing on a seashore, that we just yield to the wave upon wave of liquid love that is being poured into our hearts by your own Spirit. Mm. Wow. Thank you that you want us to know this more than we want to know it. So, help us just to relax, to rest, and to receive. Whoa. Yeah. Amen. Good stuff, huh, mate?
It is indeed. It's all good.
Well, thank you, everybody, for coming and, you know, just being a part of just our great family time, hanging out together.
Yeah.
And Mark, as always, mate, it's just such a joy.
It's good. Thank you. And next week, Barry will be without me because I've got some family time with the grandkiddies. But you'll have a good time.
Whether
Barry's on his own or with someone, it's going to be a great time.
So I will manage.
In 2 weeks. And quick announcement. The clocks in North America change this weekend. The clocks in Europe change in 2 weeks' time. So next Wednesday and the Wednesday afterwards, North American East Coast time, 4 o'clock. And UK, 8 o'clock, Europe, 9 o'clock. 2 weeks only, and then we'll be back to normal when we catch you up.
Yes, and I so appreciate Mark doing this. You know, again, we've been doing this for over 10 years, so that's over 20 time changes. And almost every time change, Mark coaches me on it and says, Barry, do you have it? And then I, instead of being 4 o'clock, I would go, you know, 2 hours earlier and get it messed up. So thank you, Mark, for that. And hopefully I'll get it right next week. So
if he does the adverts wrong, I'll remind him.
All right. Well, thanks, okay, everybody. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, everyone.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.